I've got to go off of something Steve had to say as it relates to Rosh Hashanah being the celebration of the new year, but of course the celebration of God creating man and woman, Adam and Eve, on the sixth day of creation. And earlier this week, I guess it would have been Sunday, that indeed the first day of creation was celebrated by the Jewish people who believe in a 6 24-hour day week of creation, or 6 days, 24 hours of each of those days. Not quite a week. They rested, of course, on the seventh day. I want to continue that thought. I want you to understand it better, and to be able to do that, we bring to these microphones broadcast partner Dr. John Whitcomb. We catch him, I think, in, is it Indianapolis, Indiana, where you are, John?
That's right, Jimmy. Here we are in Indianapolis. Beautiful city, beautiful day.
And you're teaching the Word of God there.
That's right. We're having a creation exposition conference.
Creation Expedition Conference. What a time and place to catch you to talk about this. Well, I was talking with Steve Herzig. He's the National Director for Friends of Israel, celebration of Rosh Hashanah. It is the sixth day of creation that they celebrate. They believe that, of course, God brought into existence man and woman in the Garden of Eden. They happen to believe the Garden of Eden is the Temple Mount of the city of Jerusalem. But this means that if we're at 5770, that's the Jewish year that we now go into, this is a young earth we're talking about. How in the world do scientists have such a problem with a young earth?
Well, of course, the evolutionary theory demands time, 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 because they lack the power of God's miraculous creative wisdom. And that is the tragedy of our generation. We have forgotten the God of our fathers, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made. And of course, we know that that was in 6 days, because God wrote with his own finger on tablets of stone, my, many, many, many years ago, that in 6 days the Lord thy God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And so God made it very clear, didn't he, Jimmy, in chapter 1 of Genesis, 6 24-hour days, because each day has a number with it, day 1, second day, third, fourth. Whenever the word yom in Hebrew has a number with it, it means a 24-hour period. If that weren't enough, he gives every day a meaning like this. There was evening and morning, day 1, evening and morning, second day. Evening and morning is one cycle of the earth rotating on its axis in reference to a fixed astronomic light. So God tells us in various ways, and Israel understood it that way, didn't they? When God said, you work 6 days and rest one, they didn't think we're going to work 6 million years and rest a million. They knew exactly what God meant. And so today, when that Sabbath begins at 6 p.m. on Friday night, it ends 6 p.m. Saturday night, not a week or a month or a year later. And I say, thank you, Lord, for that reminder that you are an infinitely powerful, wonderful God. Now, Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, through whom the world was made, told us in Matthew 19:4, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning, that's Adam and Eve, made them male and female? He made them when? At the beginning, not millions of years after the earth appeared, or animals evolving, or dying. No, Adam and Eve were here at the beginning of the world. And, of course, that's what God tells us in Romans 1:20, isn't it, also? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Adam and Eve could clearly see the creative handiwork of God in the universe and around them on the earth. This isn't referring to animals. It's referring to people who were here at the beginning of the world. Now, of course, John tells us in 1 John that the devil sins from the beginning. But he didn't sin against God until after Adam and Eve were created. Because when God created Adam and Eve, our first human parents, he saw everything he made, and it was what? Very good. All angels, men, animals, everything in perfect harmony. That's never been true from that day to this.
John, what's that reference there in 1 John?
That's 1 John 3:8. The devil sins from the beginning. And I say, well, that's amazing, because after Adam and Eve were created, we know that Satan fell and led millions of demons with him. And so that was after Adam and Eve's creation, but it was still in the beginning. Now, I say, Lord, you were there, we weren't. Not one evolutionist I ever studied under at Princeton University, where I was a godless evolutionist, was here when the world began and observed these things. But God was here, and he says, dear child, trust me. I don't lie to people. I'm telling you the absolute truth. The world is fresh, it's new, it's recent, it's created.
That is so exciting. John, just a final question here for you. I know you've got to get back to the conference. What happens? There are many Christians who are buying into this evolutionary thing as well, and they're saying, although they try to reconcile the two, the account of creation in Genesis 1 and evolution, what happens if somebody, what about a Christian who does not really believe Genesis 1?
Well, it's very, very sad to Jesus because, of course, everything that we know about the origin of the world, the ultimate destiny of the world, and how we can know God comes through Jesus, because John chapter 1, Gospel of John, begins like this. In the beginning was the Word. You say, who's that? Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that's Jesus Christ, was here at the beginning. Jesus, therefore, as God, speaks only the truth. And he was the one through whom everything was made. And he tells us in Genesis chapter 1, which is part of his word, that it happened in 6 literal days. And I say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being not only the way and the life, but the truth about how the world began, how it's going to end, and how I can come to know you as my Savior and my Lord. And Christians who don't really believe everything Jesus said, sadly, we'll have to someday meet him. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account for what they've said or done or even thought that is displeasing to the Lord. And we want to win a crown, don't we, Jimmy? We want to be honored. We want to be rewarded for faithfulness to what God has written in this precious book, the Bible.
Boy, John Wickham, that is an awesome thought. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be responsible before Jesus Christ for those things that we have said and taught. That is kind of a scary thought for me, and I'm sure you too, John. We're teachers of the Word of God. We travel the world. You're there in Indianapolis even as we're speaking doing that. And that is just such an awesome thought. In prophecy conferences, you don't hear a whole lot about the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe one of these days I'll bring you back and we'll talk about the judgment seat of Christ. But thank you for your input to us who have been listening to you, those eavesdropping on our conversation across the world as well. Have a great meeting there, John, and we'll be talking to you down the line, I'm sure.
Thanks, Jimmy. God be with you. God be with you.